Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America.
The common enemy of humanity is man. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can become overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. And that was a quote from the Club of Rome, the premier environmental think tank consultants to the United Nations, who brought you the new Green Deal. You're listening to Karen Schoen, and this is the Prism of America's Education. As I was watching the debate, as I am sure that many of you saw, the subject of the Green New Deal and man-made global warming reared its ugly head. The focus on the climate, I feel, is erroneous, because if you read this deal, this is really not about the climate. This has to do with a great shifting of wealth from the middle class to who knows where, into some green project like Solyndra, slated to fail because they do. So I thought it might be a good idea to go over some of the key points of what this deal is already about. Well, first of all, it encompasses an abolition of all ordered governments. Why do they want to get rid of the government? They have to get rid of the government because in order for this to work, it must be a one-party system. You cannot have dissension. You cannot have people in opposition. Opposition will create independent thought, and that is something that a communist can never have. They are promoting the abolition of private property. Well, when I heard that one, I said, oh, I have a wonderful quote from one of the originators of Agenda 21, where this new Green Deal had its roots. So who is this person? Well, this is Maurice Strong, and he was a former UN Secretary General. Now, good old Maurice made his money, billions of dollars, in oil. So why did he want to go after fossil fuel? Again, competition. The communists cannot handle competition, and they will do anything to destroy it. So what did Maurice say in his propaganda message? He said, land, because of its unique nature and the crucial role it plays in human settlements, cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals and subject to the pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Private land ownership is also a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, and therefore it contributes to social injustice. If unchecked, it may become a major obstacle in the planning and implementation of development schemes, social justice, urban renewal and development, and the provision of decent dwellings and healthy conditions for the people can only be achieved if land is used in the interest of society as a whole. The abolition of private property is not just land. They are looking at the abolition of private businesses, which is one of the reasons why there was no response when businesses were destroyed during riots. These people feel that in order to take control, they must take down, and their takedown is of the American middle class. They are afraid of the middle class because the middle class notoriously are thinkers and will absolutely rise up in dissent. Not only that, they're armed. So this is a big deal when it comes to private property. Do not just think that that's land. Private property builds equity, a future, that you do not have to rely upon the state. And that is intolerable to these people as they create their new utopia. They also are seeking the abolition of inheritance. And you will see the jump of the estate tax and any tax that has to do with anyone inheriting, because they feel that that is unfair. So no, you should not have your parents' business that they spent so hard, or your aunts or uncles or anyone leaving you anything. That's unacceptable. They must destroy all forms of patriotism. Remember what Lenin said. Lenin said, if you take away a person's heritage, they will follow you because they must fill that void. And that was paraphrased. He didn't say it in that exact words, but that's exactly what he meant. People have to have an allegiance to something. They feel a connection. And that was what President Trump tapped into when he started with the America First, to bring back patriotism, to bring back that something that binds all Americans together, that love of freedom, love of liberty, love of the pursuit of happiness. Well, you can't pursue happiness and have happiness if you are constantly being told that you're a victim and you have to be miserable. And that goes right into the next thing that they are interested in, and that is the abolition of the family. Why is it so important to get rid of the family? Where do you get your confidence from? Where do you get understanding? Where do you get experience from? You get them from your family. You don't get them from going to school. You get certain things from school. You're supposed to get the skills, but the morality comes from your family. And therefore, hand in glove with eliminating the family is eliminating religion. It is most important that you revere your government as your religious focus. You pray to your government, and you are the God. Whatever you decide at that moment is what you can do. And you are right and truthful because you are truthful in that moment. Well, in America, freedom and liberty means that you can be free and do what you want in your freedom as long as it does not affect others. So the riots done in the name of free speech were riots, and they affected others, and therefore should be illegal, and the people that are permitting that and funding that should be in jail. They want a global population of about 500 million to a billion people, and they say this constantly. So they will use technology and anything else at their disposal, like, dare I say, the CCP virus, anything to experiment. I'm one of these people that believe that if they wanted to cure cancer, they'd cure cancer. I'm one of these people that believes that many of the CCP guidelines are fictitious and have absolutely nothing to do with the disease itself. They are there for the power of control. And they must have the creation of a world government. I don't know how many of you remember Loretta Lynch when she was the Attorney General. She formed a relationship with the United Nations under what they called strong cities. And she brought in the United Nations fact-finding committees to teach Americans how they could police better. And I have a feeling that those cities that are going up in flames were part of this program. I have not checked that out yet, but as I'm saying it, boy, that really fits together. Their goal is to take the environmental movement and blow it out of proportion just so that people will control themselves and give the power to their government. Look at what Gavin Newsom just did in California. He mandated that by 2035 there will be no more fossil fuel cars sold in California. Now, this is a man whose state suffers from rolling blackouts because they have destroyed their energy grid and the renewables cannot support the people that they have. But if you think about it this way, if they fill their state with homeless and people who are poor, they don't need air conditioning. They're already coming from places that don't use air conditioning to begin with. So what reserve power there is for the rest of them will be perfect. This will not affect them in their communities. This will only affect you, us, in our communities. The environmental movement has been described as the largest and most influential social phenomenon in modern history. From relative obscurity just a few decades ago, it has spawned thousands of organizations and claims of millions of committed activists. Reading the newspaper today, it is hard to imagine a time when global warming, resources and depletion and environmental catastrophes and save the planet were barely mentioned. Now they are mentioned constantly, even though they're not high up on the people's agenda, because the people understand that climate changes. And convoluting pollution into climate has nothing to do with climate change. They have made it so that environmental awareness is considered to be the mark of any good, decent citizen. You're a bad person if you don't have environmental justice. I was trying to figure what that is, and I still can't figure that one out. So maybe somebody can send me an email and tell me what it's all about, because I have no idea what environmental justice is. Does that mean all the trees and the flowers have to be treated equally? So now we have these multinational companies, and they compete ferociously to promote their environmental credentials and outgreen each other at the detriment of ourselves. The threat of impending ecological disasters is uniting the world through a plethora of international treaties and conventions. So why am I telling you this? What was it that Senator Harris said? One of the first things that she will do is put us back into the Paris Climate Accord. Why on earth would we want to do that when our own industry has cleaned itself and we now have better air and better water than one could possibly imagine, and we are the leaders in the country, and we still use fossil fuel because the fossil fuel industry has cleaned itself? So if we leave it up to the free market and we tell them there is a problem and we want to buy their products when they improve them, guess what? They will improve them. But when the government forces an industry with subsidies, we will have multiple cylinders happening on a continual basis. So what basically did we get from the debate that happened between the vice presidential candidates? We know that Americans are undereducated in all areas except hate and victimization. And if they aren't victims, they can't be happy. So here we have a group of people who are the radical left, headed by Kamala Harris, who hate everything and everyone standing in their path. How can you vote for people that hate you and lie to you on a continual basis? They only tolerate people with similar thought. They think nothing of exploiting and destroying everything in its path, and they act like a hurricane. And now what's happening, I'm beginning to see, as I hope you all are as well, is, as usual in a communist dictatorship, as a totalitarian state begins to take hold, the more radical group will turn on the less radical group. And we see this happening. The other day, the BLM co-founder openly repudiated Joe Biden, accusing him of being part of what she calls the violent white supremacist system. So does this mean that BLM is not going to be supporting Biden anymore? Is there actually going to be a civil war within the Democrat Party? Could this be the beginning of the end of politicians like Joe Biden because they are part of the system and the system must be destroyed? It appears as though BLM is going after the white liberals in their own party. No matter what they do is never going to be good enough. They will be white supremacists because they are just as bad as the system that they are trying to get out of. BLM is angry basically because this white group makes no distinction between the descendants of slaves and black immigrants, and they want to give all the same basically because they want to improve their voting bloc. And BLM is not interested in voting. They are only interested in a takeover. What did they say? If you don't give us what we want, we will destroy you. Do we have the new BLM fighting over the old establishment? And even though there were many of the businesses had BLM signs on them, and the sign said, "We support BLM," it didn't make any difference. They smashed them anyway. And they are smashing them because they hate. And they hate the old system. And they want the whole system to be totally transformed. And to transform something means to destroy it. For those of you that wondered why the polls are so off, I'm thinking of it this way. The polls are favoring Biden so highly so that when Trump wins in a landslide, the 600 or so attorneys will be able to say something must be wrong, the election was illegitimate, and we have to do recounts because the polls showed that Joe Biden was way ahead. Remember what Hillary said, "Joe, do not give in, do not say that I will concede no matter what happens." Is she signaling to Joe not to worry, we have your back, we'll take them to court? And this is the dividing sign. Do we want to be free people, or do we want to do nothing more than be little bobbleheads of others who are telling us what to do? Our destiny right now is in our hands. Are we willing to take that destiny and give it to someone else and follow their values and not our own? That's what this election is about. This election is about saving America. So my question is, as always, is America worth saving? What are you going to do about it? If not you, who? If not now, when? Be right back.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
We have been talking a lot about communism because that's really what we're facing. And a lot of things you have to remember about communists when you are trying to make either a point or trying to understand what they're doing to you and trying to figure out how they can be so heartless when they do it, because they really have no regard for human life at all. They don't care. You're just another number, another cog in the wheel, another whatever, another nuisance, or as they called us many times, useless eaters, or there to do their bidding, and they call us sheeple. We have been concentrating a lot on Russia, and I believe that Russia was only there to lay the foundation. Let's be real. Russia has an economy that is not even as big as California's economy. So how is Russia a threat? They're not. There have been infusing operatives for the longest time, and now I think that China is ready to do the mass production. I have invited a friend, Claire Lopez, who was in the intelligence field, and I believe still is, and knows everything that we could possibly need to know about our real elephant in the room, our real enemy, and that would be China. Hi, Claire. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me again. I'm glad to be with you. I'll just make one quick update on my bio. I have been out of government service now for well over 20 years in the private sector, and right now, this year, have formed my own company called Lopez Liberty LLC.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Congratulations. See, that's what America is about, folks. You don't have to stay stuck in something just because you were in it. You have the ability to make choices. And once you hand over all of those choices to our communist counterparts, or who think they are, then America will cease to exist. And we just have to look at Russia and China to see that that's the way it works. So, Claire, what say you? Because I know you have investigated, been in, and know a whole lot more about China.
Well, I think you're absolutely right to talk about the communist, Marxist, Leninist origins of the ideology that we're facing now in this street insurrection across America. That is absolutely founded on the ideology of Marx and Lenin, and even further back, Hegel, in terms of the dialectic. But I also agree with you completely, Karen, that today, most of the real-time, the current-day time connections between the anarchists running the streets, as well as other operatives that we can talk about, is much less so with Moscow than it is with the Communist Chinese Party and Beijing. And so even though so many of, you know, the skinny arm, pasty face little soy boys and girls out on the street do not necessarily know the ideology that you and I are talking about, Hegel, Marx, Lenin, or Maoism, they are the useful fools that are being, you know, sent out there as the shock troops with the intent to tear down this republic, to destroy our constitution, and pave the way for a Marxist, communist takeover, Maoist takeover.
Now, most people at this point say, oh, really, why should I care? That's not going to come here. Well, wrong, 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 and wrong. It's already here, and it's been here for a long time. I don't know how many of you remember Anita Dunn? She was working in the Obama administration, and when she was asked who her hero was, she said, Mao? Oh, really? So, these people have been practicing this for a long time, but I think now what has happened is they feel that they're ready to show their true colors, to show the world what communism and their utopia, which, by the way, more people have died trying to fight for their utopia. I think, what was it, 200 million, Claire, in the last year? But I wanted to ask you a question. The Russians and the Chinese and the Iranians have formed an alliance. Isn't that true?
Yes, it is true.
The Chinese and the Russians and the Iranians have formed an alliance with the sole goal of taking down the West. Isn't that what has really basically gone on?
Yes, that is true. I would say that the more immediate goal of the Iranian regime is in the Middle East region there, and particularly, of course, Israel. And Iran does this by means of its Islamic jihad proxy militias like Hamas, Hezbollah, the Yemeni Houthis, the Iraqi Hashd al-Shaabi militia groups, and so forth, working with al-Qaeda, working with the Taliban. But for what we're facing over here in the United States right now, I think the influence really is overwhelmingly China. I think that what we're facing today on the streets of America, this street insurrection, this Marxist, communist revolution, has more to do with the current day broad-based backing of Beijing and the Communist Chinese Party. Yes, based on the original ideology of Hegel and Marx and Lenin, but now with a Maoist update, almost, if you will, and implementation. And today's Chinese Communist Party, and we can talk about the means and methods by which they're doing this,
yes,
is very much involved with the key front shock troops, maybe, if you want to call them, on the streets today of America, in particular with the Black Lives Matter movement.
So that, yes, that what should be done, I believe, is that we should start looking at where the funds are coming from. Because
the problem is, yes, funding, but it is every major corporation in America.
Yes, that is, yes.
And they are funding it as, air quotes, philanthropic foundations like the Ford Foundation, the Plowshares Foundation, the Tides Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and on we go. And, of course, the George Soros Open Society Foundation. It's not, to my knowledge, that funding, per se, is coming from Beijing directly to BLM. Although, as we can talk about, there are clearly financial linkages. But I think that the funding is actually coming from Americans, if you can imagine this, but that the ideological direction and the information operations that push this thing along are coming out of the Chinese Communist Party.
I would not be at all surprised, because if you look at the corporations, they all have locations in China. And once you have a location in China, to my knowledge, you have to partner with the Chinese government or a representative of the Chinese government. So if the Chinese government says to Nike, if you don't do this, you're not going to have our customer base, and you're going to lose billions of dollars and we'll crush you, then Nike says, oh, yes, BLM, BLM. So
I think... This is exactly what's going on. Excuse me for interrupting you there.
No.
All of these major companies and foundations and their leadership figures, officials, but also, I would add to that, all of the major media corporations in America, and I mean a legacy print media like Washington Post, New York Times, I mean all of the TV channels, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, probably Fox too. Either they and or their parent companies all have business interests in China. And I've left off social media, so add to that list Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, obviously TikTok, places like that. They all are connected directly with interests in China. And just as you say, Karen, they don't want to jeopardize that potential 1.4 billion Chinese person market as they look at it. But here's the thing. For the last many decades, I mean, since President Nixon and Henry Kissinger, as Secretary of State, reached out to Communist China in the early 1970s and decided, in the wisdom of the time and with much academic, backing from academia and think tanks and so forth, scholars of China and so forth, they decided that drawing China into the world system, that opening our markets to opening world commerce, to inviting China into the World Trade Organization, would just somehow inevitably lead to the Chinese Communist regime somehow moderating and becoming more like us as they saw the benefits of a free market capitalist system. Well, not so much. And in the decades since, what we've seen is they grabbed all the goodies, World Trade Organization membership, invitation into the world, commercial system, trade, and all of that, connections, as we're saying, with all of our Western companies.
Yeah, and weren't they also treated with third world development status? So they got all of the advantages.
What a joke. And ate it too. But all of those, bennies, if you will, all those benefits, they simply took them and pocketed them and went right on with their vision of themselves as the Middle Kingdom, the empire, the singular empire under the sun as they see it, and as many China scholars and I now too see it, the current Chinese Communist Party led by Xi Jinping is really nothing more than the most recent iteration of 5,000 years of emperors controlling China with a communist overlay. This is our doing as much as it is theirs. We invited them in. We offered all of these benefits, and they took them. And now we are so interconnected commercially, trade, industry, production, academia, research, scientists, on and on, government, industry, that disentangling will be very difficult to do, even though I think it is exactly what we must do.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I would have to say at this point, I hope everybody now really understands what the big reason is that they have to get rid of President Trump. Because, first of all, aside from everything else, he's exposing it, but he's also bringing back the same things that they stole from us originally. And that was our manufacturing and our patents. I remember we were in the telecommunications business, and we couldn't get lines into China for a number of reasons. But when things opened up, the only way you could get a line into China was if you became a 50-50 partner with the Chinese Communist Party. And I imagine they did that to everyone.
Yes, they did. They absolutely did. It was a condition of working in the Chinese market, having that, coveted access to that very large market, that you had to basically allow them to steal all your intellectual property, essentially have a back door into all of your trade secrets and everything else. And President Trump, you're right, Karen, absolutely right, is the first president that has now stood up and said, enough. That is not going to happen anymore under my watch, says President Trump. And even though he did his best, he too reached out to China, reached out to Xi, made an effort, and a very good effort, but it didn't pay off. And they didn't reciprocate, and they didn't respond in the way that we were all hoping. Even though a trade deal was signed in January of this year, 2020, mostly because of their own inadequacies in agriculture and the vicissitudes of the weather, flooding and rain and so forth in China, they are not food independent. And so they have actually apparently kept the terms of that January 2020 trade agreement insofar as buying American crop products, you know, like
corn. Agricultural products? Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. And so, okay, fine with that, but that January 2020 was exactly the month that they unleashed the Wuhan coronavirus on the world. And so, no, this hasn't worked out very well. Our president, thankfully, and his wife, Melania, First Lady, are recovering very quickly, so happy to see, from their own bouts with having caught this Wuhan coronavirus. But long way of saying that the relationship with this Chinese regime is not what anyone hoped for, and President Trump is taking steps to correct, well, the imbalance and the recalcitrance of the Chinese communist regime.
Yes, we are very fortunate, because any other president would have turned the other cheek, looked the other way, and said, come in, China, take whatever you want, because that's what they have been doing for years and years and years. And let us make no mistake, because these people have a goal, and that goal is to own everything we have. Period. They're not interested in people. They're not interested in people owning anything. So they want all of our land, our minerals and natural resources. And wouldn't you say, Claire, it would be a good idea to check and see where the people that we're electing to office stand on China?
Well, yes, absolutely. But it's not just our elected officials. As we're now seeing, it is, for example, the deployment of tens of thousands of Chinese students, especially at graduate school levels, in hard science fields like computer technology, engineering, and other things, to steal our intellectual property through academic access. It is the deployment or the partnership of Chinese scientists and researchers in medical fields to our national labs, either on university campuses or at the NIH, National Institutes of Health, CDC, Centers for Disease Control. And all of a sudden, thanks to President Trump, our national security is finally waking up, or at least diverting a small amount of their attention away from plotting a coup d'etat against their president and going after and arresting everybody who's not wearing a mask, diverting that attention a little bit to realizing just how badly penetrated we are. You mentioned government, and that is certainly a place to be careful.
Oh my goodness, hold that thought. And that is some thought to hold. We will be right back.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue: Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Thank you.
hope you learned a lot. Claire is an amazing lady, and it was wonderful to spend some time with her. And she talked about the same thing that we have been talking about as well, and that would be the communist goals. So right now, I want to refresh your memory and go over a couple of goals as they are applicable with what we're going to be talking about today. Okay, number 24 said, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and violation of free speech and free press. Number 25 says, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. And now think, who reads those books? Present number 26 is present homosexuality and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. 27 says infiltrate the churches and replace the revered religion with social religion, discrediting the Bible and emphasizing the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. In other words, they become the God. The individual becomes the God as God is eliminated. And the last one, of course, is eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principles of separation of church and state. Well, when it comes to church and state and anything about religion, I like to call on Pastor Rick Stevens because he knows all about what we're going to be talking about, and he can bring you the religious side of this equation. One thing before we get started, I wanted to remind everybody that if you are in a communist country and you have an issue with what the government is doing, and you voice that expression, you lose your rights, you lose your freedom, and they think nothing of picking you up in the middle of the night, bringing you to a gulag, and having you either become their workers' bee slave or sex slave, or they will just carve you up in little pieces and sell your body parts. These people do not play nice. This is not about being nice. They are not nice. They have no morality, and therefore hate comes natural to them. So, Pastor Rick, my question is, how can the Pope, and I know that, you know, Catholics pay most attention to the Pope, but I am sure that the Pope does have some type of influence over the Christian community, but how can someone who believes in God believe in communism? I can't figure that one out. What can you say?
Well, thanks, Karen, and I'm not sure I have a better answer to that than yours. I can't figure it out either, because there's nowhere in the Bible that I can find that it encourages any kind of socialism or communism. And one of the main things, I remember a few years ago, it's kind of daunting sometimes when people ask you questions, but I was going into an event, and I saw an acquaintance there, and she came up to me very concerned. I mean, and I could tell by the expression on her face, the agitation in her voice, that she had a very important question, and she expected me to have the answer to it. And so my antenna were up, and I was alert, and she asked me, she says, please tell me that this socialism isn't Christian. And I thought, wow, that's a big question for a spur-of-the-moment answer. And, you know, there are times like that when I believe that the Holy Spirit gives us answers and that we can then have something that helps people. And I said simply to her something I had not thought about before that moment, to put in this way. But I said to her, well, it can't be Christian because Christ was never coercive. Christianity is never coercive, and socialism and communism is always coercive. Under those systems, you will do what they say, you will believe what they tell you to believe, or you will pay the price. And I think that's an absolutely important thing for us to realize. Anything that's coercive is not compatible with our understanding of the gospel that was revealed to us in the Bible.
Well, that is 100% communism, because that is what they believe. Either you are with them or you are dead to them. And I really do mean the words, dead to them. They have no regard for human life at all. Even the people who work with them, they do not have regard for them either. And that is why they give them all of these peripheral diversions, like even pornography, drugs, sex education in kindergarten, explicit sex education in kindergarten. And now they're trying to turn our kids into accepting that if they wake up that morning and decide they want to be a girl, that's okay. But what happens later on in life if they decide they really didn't mean that and they want to be a boy? In the meantime, they've been taking all of this medication. And where are the parents going to fit in that? Where is the decision making? What would you suggest, Pastor Rick?
Well, I think the parents need to be honored in that and help to understand that kids go through these kinds of things, and they need their parents to help them navigate it. Kids hear things, are susceptible to influences. They are trying to learn their way in the world. And that's what we have always done for our children, is help them find their way and not get them distracted or allow them to be fooled by these other kinds of ideas. But we bring them back to what we know to be true and what we know will be right for them in their lives. And that's just what we should all be doing. Home, school, church, all of us ought to be tracking on that same path to help our kids navigate the formative years and help them understand what is right and what's wrong.
Exactly. We are supposed to be their role models, and instead we are letting the school pick up and become their role model. And we are allowing these people who do not have a regard for our children, what they have a regard for is their vote. And usually they pick on a group that is a very minute representation in the country, in your school. And they blow things out of proportion. Things have to get totally turned around for the benefit of the very, very, very few. That's not supposed to be a, quote, democracy, which they keep on telling us that we have. We have to look within our own communities and see what is happening and not allow them to happen. Now, you had an interesting problem going on in Lee County, Pastor Rick. Would you like to share that?
Sure. I live in Lee County, Florida. Many people may be aware of that. And we just learned over the weekend, and really focused on it today, that the school board has on their agenda for tomorrow night to pass a resolution that would proclaim the month of October, from October 1st to October 31st, LGBT History Month in Lee County schools. And that got our attention for a number of reasons, and I think it should get everybody's attention all across the country, because this is an example of the things that kind of creep in and people don't realize what's going on. We send our kids to school and expect them to listen to their teachers, but we don't expect their teachers to tell them things that fundamentally violate our religious convictions. And so we sent a letter to the school board asking them not to adopt this. We encouraged them to vote that resolution down. We reminded them that in Lee County, we think the taxpayers are far more concerned with our underperforming students than with things like this, and we shouldn't be spending our time and resources on it. And your audience might be surprised to know this, but there are cases like this kind of student performance all across the country. But U.S. News and World Report in 2019, which is the latest information we have, did an evaluation of all of the nation's high schools. And they found out that in Lee County, Florida, where we're spending time and energy and money to advocate for an LGBT History Month, that 52% of our high school students cannot read at grade level, and 61% of those high school students cannot perform math at grade level. Now, we think this is a far more important thing to pay attention to than designating October as LGBT History Month. So we're asking them to vote no. And there's one other thing that's specific to Florida, but our listeners across the country should hear this, that in Florida, we have a scholarship opportunity that when parents believe that their children are harassed or intimidated or bullied or any of those kind of things, threatened, that they have an opportunity to go to the school and say, my child had this experience, and I qualify for the HOPE Scholarship. We are convinced, and we said this to the school board in our letter, that if they pass that resolution, the moment that is passed, every student in Lee County, Florida schools qualifies for this HOPE Scholarship that the state of Florida provides so that parents can move their child into a safer school environment. We think that's huge. We think that's something that states all across the country ought to do for the students, so parents can protect their children from the things that violate their sincerely held religious conviction.
What a fabulous thing to have. And folks, go and take a look at the Florida Department of Education or go to the Florida Citizens Alliance. Look up HOPE Scholarship. That's H-O-P-E, scholarship, very easy. And write one for your state as well. There is no reason why you, that's why we're doing this. Why can't you copy the things that we're doing that you like and advance them in your state? We have to learn from each other. We can't be hiding things and keeping them secret if something good is going on. And in the state of Florida, we are very fortunate that something good is going on. And this has nothing to do with liking or disliking, approving or disapproving of any LGBTQ individual. Has nothing to do with that at all. But in order to make a month of something, of total remembrance of something, why on earth is it important to talk about a person's sex when we should be talking about their accomplishments? I don't know about you, Pastor Rick, but I don't really care what anybody does in the privacy of their home. I am not interested. I don't really care, unless it is something that harms someone else. That's different. If they're harming their children, that's a different thing, or their spouse, that's a different thing. But when it comes to sexual preference, I'm not interested. I don't care. I want to know, especially if you work for me or do something for me, can you read? Can you do math? Can you follow directions? That's what's important. Can you make good decisions in your life? Not this. This is not what a school should be teaching.
That's a good point, that we're not attacking anyone or against anyone. That is not our point in objecting to this. Our point is we need to allow the parents to introduce their children to all of these kinds of things as they want to, and we don't think the school board should be doing that in creating that environment where the kids have no choice but to be exposed to them. So our goal is not to attack somebody, although people will probably accuse us of that. Our goal is to protect our children and allow the parents that put them in a safe learning environment where they can actually achieve and learn, as you say, the reading, writing, and arithmetic that they need to know.
And choosing appropriate books for them to read as well, because all of this is all tied together. When you take away a person's ability to achieve, when you tell them you can only make a choice of the choice that I tell you, that's not a choice. That person is not making any of their own decisions. When you take away their own decision-making ability, when you don't allow them to be different, guess what? They do it anyway. And that's when these other things come out. We keep on saying to our children, you're acting out, something is wrong with you, and then we give them a diagnosis and put them on mind-controlling drugs, when most of the time, it's really because they're bored. If they're not learning anything, and they're not learning anything worthwhile, and they can't take that into a decision-making ability, and they have no responsibility, and they are a victim, then how can we expect them to behave morally? How can we expect them to understand and value other people's lives, their own lives? They don't. What will they do? Well, they'll go out and they'll be different. They'll want to be different. So they'll go out and they'll pierce and they'll tattoo, and some will do drugs and some will go into prostitution, and they're all seeking the same thing. They want to be able to have their own opinions, be able to formulate their own ideas, and they don't want to be constantly told what to do on a continual basis. And that's coming very, very soon. So with the church's acceptance of communism and everyone being communist, how does one appreciate God? How is that possible? We go back to the same question again. I can't believe it, but here we are.
Well, we have to stand up in this country for our, what people often call our first freedom. That is freedom of conscience. It's enshrined in the Bill of Rights. It gives all of us the freedom to worship as we wish and to not be coerced into our beliefs by the government. And that's the fundamental difference between a free people and people who are under the thumb of a controlling government. We have freedom of conscience and we need to preserve that. And I would encourage parents, if they're interested in helping their child, if you're listening and you're in Florida and your child is subject to these kind of things, you qualify for the Hope Scholarship. Go to our website, libertyscholar.org. That's simple, libertyscholar.org. On that website, you'll find a lot of information about the Hope Scholarship. If we can coach you through the process in Florida, we'll be glad to try to help you with that. But we think this is a great tool for our Florida residents, our Florida students. We want to encourage people across the country to take a look at this model and adopt it in your state. It's a powerful tool to help parents protect their kids from all of this stuff.
Well, Pastor Rick, once again, thank you so much for your input. It is greatly appreciated, as always. And folks, you know what to do. This is not the time to sit on your hands. The first thing you have to do, especially in Florida, is vote, 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 and vote. And please go to the polling places. Don't vote by mail. We know what is going to happen with that part. Thank you, Pastor Rick, and thank you all for listening. I hope that this time was well spent and that you continue to learn and act. Please vote. See you again real soon. This is Karen Schoen with the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Radio Network every Saturday and Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time.